Hey, everybody, this is Andrew Colvett, executive producer of The Charlie Kirk Show, filling in for Charlie on this wonderful, beautiful Friday. In this hour, we have Kimberly Fletcher from Moms for America, and she has a fascinating story about they are rolling out FCC standards across all the schools. You're going to want to get involved in that effort. It makes so much sense. And we talk about why the left is hell-bent on separating parents from their children. We also talk with Raheem Kassam about a bombshell scoop that he got, a leaked interview that Fox refused to air involving Stephen Sund, the former chief of the Capitol Hill Police, who says it was a cover-up, that J6 was a cover-up. We're going to play that footage and get Raheem's take on what the footage actually shows, because he's not allowed to publish all of it, but he can publish some of it, but he's seen all of it, so he has that scoop for us. Don't go anywhere. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
In 2021, Virginia became ground zero for the parent-led backlash against CRT and the trans propaganda in schools. You know, we're told that Virginia is a blue state now, but what we saw was that Governor Youngkin, was able to ride this parental empowerment wave into the governor's mansion in that state. And what we realize is that even in supposedly blue states like Virginia, that parents are deeply, deeply hostile to the most radical parts of the leftist ideology. And that's why we have a Republican governor in the state of Virginia. So last year, the Virginia General Assembly passed a bill requiring parents to be informed whenever explicit material is taught in the classroom. And naturally, the left is having a complete and utter meltdown. So to walk us through this back and forth that really is ground zero for this entire debate is Kimberly Fletcher, Moms for America. Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm looking through this. I was doing my research on this yesterday. And I mean, this group of people that are opposing this bill is like the who's who of the leftist alliance. It's crazy. It's a bunch of Marxist organizations. So you've got PLP, Pride Liberation Project. You've got the NAACP, the Fairfax Alliance for Black School Educators, Safe Space Nova, and FCPS Pride employees. What are they? What could possibly animate these people so much to fight a law that simply says that parents get to know when sexually explicit materials in the libraries and their classrooms?
Well, they fear parents. And this is one of the things that I've been, you know, telling moms for years. When you know that they can't even say the name, that they're calling us birthing people and chest feeders, you know they fear us when they can't even say the name. They know that what they want is the hearts and minds of our children, and we're standing right in the way of that. And that's why we're passing bills like this. And just like the one we did in Texas with the FCC standard bill is what we're pushing across the country. If you can't show it on TV and you can't air it on the radio, you should not have it in the classroom. And that's what parents in Virginia said when all of these things started to come to light that they were realizing their children were being exposed to. And in this specific case, we have, you know, moms who report these things to us all the time. And just to give you an idea of what we're dealing with, a mother sent the letter to us of what they were receiving from the school, asking them if they were okay with their children having this content. And this is what the question was: are you okay with your 5 and 6 year old being exposed to this content, which was to include sexual bestiality, nudity, sexual excitement, and sadomasochistic abuse? Now, I'm sorry, but they don't even need that in college. So why are we pushing that on elementary schools and high schools, 5 year olds? So obviously the law is doing its job when it's out there making sure that parents are aware of what their children are being exposed to so that they can say, no, we are not okay with our 5 year olds being exposed to this.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like common sense, Kimberly. I don't understand where the controversy is. I'm one of those people that looks at, like, you know, the law in Florida, the quote unquote don't say gay law, as not going far enough. I mean, that was only protecting, you know, up through third grade. I'm like, to your point, it's like you don't even need these books in college. I don't understand where the controversy is. Okay, but grown adults can make their own decisions. We're not trying to necessarily litigate that here, but I want to get to this issue of what they describe as a book ban, Kimberly. So the left always likes to say that we're banning books, where, you know, and it always amazes me, because if you put the shoe on the other foot, it's such a simple retort. It's, you know, do you want Mein Kampf taught in your schools? Do you want eugenics? Do you want genital mutilation taught? Well, they might want that nowadays. Is this a book ban, Kimberly? What are Moms for America? What are you advocating for? I know this FCC thing. Do you disagree with that characterization?
Well, you're not banning books when you are just protecting children. There's book ban. We're just saying, listen, if it is a quality material, great. I mean, honestly, the other side is the one who's been banning the books, making a list of things that have to do with, you know, George Washington or our founding fathers or American history. They don't want that to be taught. And we're saying we welcome this. What we're saying is that if a child not watch it on TV, if they cannot hear it on the radio, because they have all of these FCC regulations in place to protect children from obscene material, why are we allowing it in the classroom and shoving it in our kids' faces? I had someone the other day who said, you keep saying it's grooming. I don't understand what grooming is. You know exactly what it is. It is preparing children to be sexualized. If you go to our website, FCCstandard.com, it has the whole entire regulations for the FCC standard. It has excerpts from federal law that talks about the grooming of children and the sexualization of them and how it is preparing them for future sexual activity. So they're doing it. That's what they're doing. And what we're saying is that does not belong in school. And it's not even just the books. This is about what is in the books, what is in the classroom, what comes out of an adult's mouth, and what is in digital learning. And that's the FCC standard that we're pushing. Just follow the same FCC standards that we have today as federal law. And let's follow those same standards in the classroom and in our schools so that our children have a good quality education instead of it being used as an indoctrination camp and grooming for sexualization.
Yeah, Kimberly, say that website again, the FCC one, so our listeners and audience can go visit that website.
It is FCCstandard.com. And we even have a letter on there that you can download and send to your legislators. We've done all the work for you. Just find a sponsor, get the bill going. We have the Texas bill that was passed. We have, it's in Louisiana, passed through both houses, waiting the governor's signature. It was introduced in Tennessee, 8 other states it's being introduced. And all the laws will be different, but the standard is the same. If you cannot show it on TV and you cannot have it on the radio, you can't have it in the classroom.
Super simple. So, Kimberly, let me ask you, this law in Virginia, is it popular?
Amongst parents, absolutely. Obviously, lawmakers. And it's a really good point that we should make right now. Is that if we as parents had not elected lawmakers who are committed to parental rights and protecting our children, it is very unlikely that we would have a type of law like this. And that's proof because the other states like Illinois and California, they're doing the exact opposite. They're saying parents' rights don't matter and we're going to do whatever we want to your children. And it's a travesty of what's happening. So we need to make sure as parents and mothers specifically, you care about your children. Then, you know, our men have been out there doing the voting and that's great, but we need 2 votes to count coming our way. So we need you moms to go out there, get registered, vote your values so that we have more laws like this and we can protect our children in the classroom. This is a very powerful tool that has now been given to parents where we now have the knowledge because the schools are now required to tell us what our children are being exposed to. The Virginia law is brilliant. It's model legislation, definitely fits the FCC standard, and we need to have this across the country.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. The Marxist, the totalitarian left has always wanted to separate children from their parents. Why? Because parents are the holders of tradition, of values, of faith, the things that are in our lives that make us independent, sovereign beings, and they want to sever those ties. And the work that you guys are doing at Moms for America, Kimberly, is so, so important. You know, we have a lot of moms that are watching this, a lot of grandmas that watch this. And this is a perfect way for you guys to get involved. You know, go to FCCstandard.com, help out. It's a common sense rule.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Every day we hear about another familiar brand selling out their customers and going woke. Americans are sick and tired of having left-wing propaganda jammed into every product they consume. Woke mobile companies are no different. For years, they've been dumping millions into liberal causes, and we had to take it because you need a cell phone and probably thought there was no alternative. I've got news for you. There is, and I want you to make the switch today. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the leftist propaganda. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching very easy. Keep your phone, keep your number too. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Get a free activation today with the offer code Charlie. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. patriotmobile.com/Charlie.
I want to read a quote, Kimberly, to you. This is attributed to Lenin. Now, we are 99% sure this is actually factual, as we doubted it. It seemed too on the nose. He said, "Give me 4 years to teach, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." Kimberly, chilling words, no doubt, but I think it's something we're all very well aware is happening, is that they see the next generation. They want to indoctrinate the next generation and create a bunch of Marxists, a little Marxist army. Now, some of that is backfiring. We have polling that shows that young men are more conservative than they've been since the 1970s, which is pretty remarkable. Young women, a lot of work to do. What is this maniacal drive, do you think, amongst educators specifically? And we see this in the teachers' unions. They are in the bag for the Democrat Party. It's obvious. They fund them. There is a very clear handshake going on there. What is driving this? Why are educators so prone to this leftist ideology?
Well, they're being trained in college to adopt the ideology, and that's a problem. I have my niece, who was going to school to be a teacher, her mother was a teacher, and she taught for 30 years. And the last 10 years, she was in the library services. So I was visiting with her a couple of years ago, and we were just having a conversation, and somehow it came up about the gingerbread person. And I don't know if your listeners are familiar with that, but the gingerbread person, they use a beloved character to help children understand. They call it a classical way to help children understand gender ideology. And it points to their genitals, their heart, and their mind, how they feel, what they were born with, and how they identify and who they love. And it's like, okay. They actually moved from the gingerbread person to the gender unicorn because they felt like the gingerbread person was too masculine. So they've been pushing this on our kids for 20 years. It's been in the schools. Maybe you haven't seen it, but your children and grandchildren have. And it's flooding everywhere. So we're sitting there having a conversation, and I asked my sister-in-law if she'd heard about that. And she said, no. My niece, who's sitting on the couch, said, yeah, I have. She goes into her room and comes back with her notebook, where she had an assignment in college where she had drawn out the whole entire gingerbread choir, which is put together by a guy named Metrosexual. So, I mean, they're teaching the kids in school, and whether or not they are doing it purposely or because they have been led to believe that this is the facts, they're doing it. And the younger the teachers are, the more concerns you need to have for your children, because they are going through the same system and they are learning these same things. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is that they are literally using our children. They are weaponizing our children against our country and against our families. They are being taught every day to hate their country, hate their neighbor, and hate themselves, and completely disenfranchised from their parents. This is what the three most horrific despots in history did. Mao, Stalin, Hitler. They all did this. And that's one of the reasons why we go around teaching our mama bear training, because we want moms to understand what we're facing is bigger than what you think. Where we are living right now is Stalin's Russia, Hitler's Germany, and Mao's China. And exactly what they did in using the children is what they're doing today. So this is, they're using the organizations like the teachers' unions and the NCAA and you name it, ACLU, all these organizations out there, they're using them to destroy the republic. And when you start connecting the dots with everything that's going on, they're trying to take the identity away from our children. They're infiltrating our schools and our classrooms. They're taking our history away. You connect all the dots, there's one objective: kill God and enslave the people. That's what the objective is. And they're using our children to do it. And it, what they are doing is like putting our children on the altars of Babylon. It is absolutely horrific what they are putting our children through. The things that they're being taught, the transgender push that they're doing, they are lost. They are totally lost. And we need to connect with them and help them realize what their identity truly is and counter these nefarious players, if you will, that are coming after them. Their goal is our children.
Yeah, no, I just want to commend you, Kimberly. I mean, you guys are fearless, and you are really the tip of the spear on this mama bear uprising that we saw in 2021 and partly in 2022. It's still going on. I mean, we're seeing, you know, there was a big fight between parents in Glendale, California. I mean, this is nationwide. I just want to underscore what we're talking about here. Joe Biden, you know, recently said, he said, you've heard me say it many times about our children, but it's true. They are all our children. And the reason you are the teachers of the year is because you recognize that. He was doing it at a celebration for teachers of the year. Now, this is so key. I mean, they really do want to get rid of faith. They want to get rid of traditional values. They want to get rid of the traditional family. And it's groups like Moms for America that are fighting back. So thank you, Kimberly. Thank you for everything you do. And thank you for joining the show.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow's 20-year anniversary, they're celebrating over 80 million pillows sold. Mike Lindell with MyPillow wants to thank you by giving you the lowest price in history on their MyPillows. You'll receive a queen-size MyPillow for $19.98. Regular price is $69.98 and just $10 more for a king size. With this special anniversary offer, you'll receive a deep discount on all MyPillow products such as their bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Kirk to receive this amazing offer on the queen size MyPillow. It's time to start getting the quality sleep you deserve. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Receive this amazing offer on the queen size MyPillow. Let's support my friend Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. It's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
Without further ado, I am going to welcome in Raheem Kassam. Raheem, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, absolutely. Raheem, I mentioned briefly, I am jealous of this scoop. I wish I could get the inside tail of how you actually got your hands on this footage. We were with Tucker Carlson in Florida, at ActCon a couple weeks ago, and Charlie had an interview with him. So we were talking behind the scenes, and he mentioned this footage. He said, "I sat down with Stephen Sun. It was an explosive interview." And Tucker is vowing that he's going to get him back on and sit him down, you know, I guess on Twitter eventually. But you got the footage before anybody else did. Tell us about it. It's truly explosive what the allegations are, and we're gonna unpack that together. What did you find out when you reviewed this footage?
Yeah, you know, I heard the same thing that Tucker Carlson said when he was talking to Russell Brand about the explosive nature of this interview. And as somebody who has followed January 6th, you know, since walking past the Capitol building with none other than our mutual friend Jack Posobiec that morning on January the 6th, we walked down from the old War Room studio down the hill. We looked at the crowd as it was gathering at the Capitol from the rooftop of 101 Constitution Avenue. For the people that know it, that gives you a massive sprawling view of that. And we started to hear the first altercations take place between police and protesters, and in the immediate aftermath. Obviously, I was, you know, fascinated and gripped by the story like anyone else, but it's not a stretch to say that it literally occurred on my doorstep. As a Capitol Hill resident, we then experienced months of the Capitol being locked down. We experienced the razor wire, the National Guard, We experienced the lies that were being told by the January 6th committee, by AOC, by the corporate media. And so, you know, it's sort of fate and kismet for this interview to have landed in my lap. And I have to tell you, Tucker is not stretching, the truth in any way when he talks about how explosive this is. Now, obviously, for particular reasons, legal reasons and so on and so forth, we can't just dump the entire interview out, but we can report on it as fair use, on fair use grounds. And the stuff that we're pulling out of it here that we've reported over the last 2 days, truly goes to the heart of what happened that day, and truly goes to the heart of what Stephen Sund himself, in his own words, called the cover-up. You know, people will recall that this was the chief of Capitol Police, 30 years of experience in the police force, who was tossed out the next day by Speaker Nancy Pelosi and replaced with somebody who was fundamentally, untrained and ill-equipped. There was no handover process. Yogananda Pittman took over as chief of the Capitol Police, in the following days, having really never done that job before. I've been going through more of the interview today because the last couple of days we've just been doing in chronological order. What are they talking about? You know, getting to the detail of it. There is a GAO report, Government Accountability Office report, that, you know, goes into excruciating detail about the events on that day. And so we're cross-referencing everything that Sund tells Tucker, fact-checking it, verifying it, you know, seeing where we can get other bits of information that are in the public interest, right? That especially given the indictment of a former president over the matter, that taxpayers and voters in the United States, citizens and stakeholders alike, they need to know this information. And so that's what we're doing today. Right after I get off this interview with you, we're going to drop the third installment from this interview. Wow. And I have to say, it's probably the most shocking yet.
Okay, now I'm really jealous, Raheem. But I do want to give our audience a taste of what we are talking about here. Now, it's a little bit grainy, a little bit the footage is a little choppy. Bear with us. I mean, this was leaked to Raheem, so have understand that in advance. Let's go to the cover-up clip. I think this is the one that's getting the most headlines and sort of attention. Play 126.
This happened to happen. If people were reporting the intelligence correctly, if I was allowed to do my job as the chief, I got a significant experience. If I was allowed to do my job as the chief, we wouldn't be here today. This didn't happen. Then see how you're out there, you're lambasted in public, and it's all, everything appears to be a cover-up. Like I said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but when you look at the information the intelligence that it had, military had, it's all watered down. I'm not getting intelligence. I'm denied support National Guard in advance. I'm denied National Guard while we're under attack for 71 minutes.
Explosive stuff there, Raheem. Now, again, it was choppy, so let's just reiterate what he said. A cover-up. Now, is he specifically referencing what happened before J6, or is he saying how they whitewashed it afterwards?
Well, he's actually talking about all of it. The context of the interview makes that very clear. That what Stephen Sund is talking about here is a number of things on the run-up to January 6th, where he says intelligence was simply not shared with him in a normal fashion. You know, he's been doing this job for years. He's been in the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C. for years before he took over at Capitol Police, which is a separate unit tasked specifically with the security of the nation's capital and the Capitol grounds. The cover-up that he refers to applies to the lead-up. It applies to the day itself, where you heard him there talking about, we were fighting, physically fighting with people for 71 plus minutes before we got our backup. He's also talking about what happened afterwards. He doesn't mince his words when he talks about the January 6th committee. And in fact, he specifically in the interview takes aim at the January 6th committee for failing to interview him publicly and putting his statements that he did make to them behind closed doors on the public record. That was another thing that people are not aware of. Again, just for the audience out there, remind yourself of this. This is the chief of the Capitol Hill Police on January the 6th. and they fired him immediately. Well, they didn't give him the resources he needed, didn't share intelligence with him. He didn't get a joint intelligence briefing in advance, what they call a JIB, which is totally normal for every other major protest that takes place in Washington, D.C. He specifically mentions in the piece that we've got coming out this afternoon, the IMF protests. He specifically mentions the protests at the Bush inauguration. And he said, for whatever reason, the intelligence agencies, including the FBI and the Department for Homeland Security, specifically avoided normal protocol and normal procedures for January 6th. And you know, this is you know, extraordinary stuff when you think about the implications it has for the, not just the country, of course, and the next election, but for a former president like Donald J. Trump to be facing charges associated with January 6th, but the committee report doesn't even cite publicly the Capitol Hill police chief. That's the cover-up he's talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I remember Charlie tweeted out some time ago, this was pre-Musk, that Trump had authorized 10,000 National Guard troops. Instantly, it was flagged, put it on Instagram. It was got a strike on it. I think Don Jr. retweeted it. He got fact-checked, all of this stuff. So, but that's true, is it not, Raheem, that this actually the troops were authorized, they declined his authorization. Is that not true?
Yeah, we reported that pretty shortly after January the 6th. You know, some of the old National Pulse reporting on this stuff, you can go back to it now and be like, you know, holy crap, how did they know that? How did they report that? And why did nobody else pick it up at the time? You know, here we are years later, and we're just sort of discovering, you know, officially what some of us reported years ago. And again, it didn't take much. I'm not claiming to have been a genius. I just actually did the research. You know, being on the Hill helps and helped do all of that. But it was evident. And I believe that the acting defense secretary at the time confirmed it, said that, yeah, Donald Trump had specifically said that there has to be 10,000 National Guard stationed in Washington, D.C. on that day. I actually have an editor's note up about that in one of our recent stories about Trump's most recent indictment. This is not a secret anymore. And what happened was that Trump said, yeah, you're going to need it. Stephen's son said, we're going to need it. And Nancy Pelosi, the House Sergeant at Arms, Paul Irving, and a number of others who were involved in that decision-making process just said, no. They said, we don't like the optics of it, was the reason that they gave. We don't like the optics of having National Guard stationed in Washington, D.C. during this protest, even though the president of the United States himself had said, listen, you know, there may be some kickoffs here between MAGA supporters and Antifa supporters, and you are going to need security at that scale. No, they said no. What's really interesting, though, is what happened immediately the day after January 6th. Optics stopped mattering, you know. They put two layers of fencing outside the Capitol. They put heavily armed National Guard. I mean, outside my house, by the way. They were all up the street, all across the Capitol district.
The optics did matter, but for the opposite reason. Let's put this image back up, guys. The image of the guy I love to hate, Michael Fanone, flipping off the yes, that's the one. So this is one of the pieces of evidence that we have, right? This guy has been scrubbed. He's been presented as a saint, but he's obviously a total douchebag. We also now know that Stephenson was not given intelligence briefings before J6. We also know that Donald Trump approved up to 10,000 National Guard troops. He said peacefully and patriotically. We also know that there was intelligence assets on the ground. And where the heck did this Michael Fanone guy come from? He's a complete dirtbag, and yet he's looped in with the Democrat insider establishment. Now, I don't understand how we conclude anything other than the fact that there are powers that be, and I don't know how widespread it is. We don't know if everybody was in on it. The truth is that it is most likely that there were players, maybe it was within the intelligence communities, that wanted to see if they could provoke this type of situation to happen on January 6th. They put the pieces on the chessboard in play to help whoop up those that were there to protest and support Donald Trump. And it played out almost perfectly, as you might suspect. Now, Raheem, he was just teasing. There are, in fact, intelligence assets on the ground on J6. This is something that we've heard about, but it when you hear it from Stephen Sun's own mouth, that's when it starts to take on a new complexion. And look what they've done since. Look what they've done since. Jack Smith's indictment is just the latest shoe to drop. They formed a J6 committee, which basically wrote the script for this newest indictment. Over 1,100 J6ers have been criminally charged for their actions on that day, most nonviolent. We knew it the day of. I remember being actually in the chair next to Charlie in Phoenix, Arizona, when this broke out. We were all ready to cover the proceedings on J6 to see if the vice president was going to send some of these state electors back to the states for an audit or to be confirmed. And we watched as a senator, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, stood up to join the objections in the House. And then sure enough, we start getting these reports and we called it that day. We said, go home, get out of there. They're going to use this. We haven't even seen the last of it, by the way. They're going to use this to weaponize the government against citizens, against conservatives. You have to get out of there. Sure enough, unfortunately, folks, it's been a tragic tale of how the government has been completely weaponized. And their main excuse is what happened on J6. And now it's looking increasingly likely that they might have fomented some of this activity on J6. Increasingly likely. Raheem Kassam, big scoop there. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If the work that we're doing here has touched you in any way, if Charlie Kirk and the team mean something to you, we highly encourage you to get involved in our exciting new project, Charlie Kirk Exclusive. You can find that at members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com, where we are offering exclusive content, exclusive chats, exclusive access to footage and commentary and live Q&As with Charlie that you can't get anywhere else, folks. That's members.charliekirk.com, and it is exclusive just for you guys. So we're going to put 100% of our weight behind that new project. So please get involved, start participating, start leaving comments. It's going to be growing. It already is real fast. So thank you so much for your help on that already. If you've joined, and if not, do it now. Members.charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.